Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Herdon phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Nancy in Houston.
Hi, Nancy. From Houston. Sorry, I interrupted you. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. If you'd like to say your name and where you're calling from, be nice.
Good morning, Sandy Utah for Steve Fulford.
Good morning, Steve. Nice to have you on the call.
Thanks. I was able to pull that file down that Dennis had put up and got it captured yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So it's up on the 16th.
Okie doke.
But I've been having trouble with my computer. My main computer died, so... Reevaluating, so I haven't gotten last week's calls up. I've got them exported to my backup. It's a little bit more difficult to do the work with it, so I haven't gotten it done yet. So, a little behind, sorry.
Wow. Well, thanks for all you do. Hope you get it fixed.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
I'm going to. Start talking about NECAN advertising. And so that might bring more people to the site. So you might is the site up for people to kind of get into?
Oh yeah, the site's up. That's not the problem. It's just the ease of editing the program. My computer I built 6.5 years ago, and it died, so I've just got to come up with a funny to get a new one.
Okay.
But, well, and my daughter's moving in with us, so we've been doing that, too. So it's been sort of a crazy time. You know, it always happens that way.
Goes in spurts.
Yes, it does. So we just make lemonade the best we can.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Good morning. Monty's here.
Good morning, Monty. Good to hear your voice.
Glad I got one.
Sure do.
Me too.
We are too. Well, those of you who, I don't know if there's, I guess you guys aren't on the computer today yet, except for Monty. But it's time for us to get started, and, we'll not be like this little ostrich with our head in the sand. We'll go ahead and get started and have some things to say today. So, welcome to our health style call. We have a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, keeping our mind and our body fit. And if you, I'm not sure if there's anything to talk about where to call if you're not on a call, or if you want to, but when you're not on the call, you can go to www.allswell.org to listen to calls there. And then Steve just reported there might be a slight delay at this time in getting some calls on, but there are a lot of them on there to listen to. Today and every day.
Just remember to click on the health style call link down towards the bottom.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Steve. Click on the health style because that's our call. He has a lot of other interesting calls on there as well. One moment while I mute the chimes. Okay. So good morning to the rest of you who have just joined us. So, today is Monday, and Monday is kind of an intro day sometimes. I'm going to show just some things that I've been looking at and share some of those. I do quite a bit all my sharing and notes on WebEx, and so if you can get on the WebEx, then you get to watch it. So today, my slides are not all loaded. Maybe we'll look at my desktop. So first, I was going to talk about just our basics. Our basics is getting our drinking a proper amount of water, enough water for each of us. Take your body weight into ounces and divide your body weight in half, and then drink that many ounces of water a day. And boy, that is very, very critical for everything. Number one, drink enough water. And I guess we could say we don't have breathing air on our list. That seems to be an automatic. But get enough sleep for your body. I don't have the list here because my slides didn't all load, apparently. I think I'll just take them out and load them back in. Today we're going to talk about some bests and some worsts. And I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time talking and manipulating my computer. So I'm very sorry. I thought I was set. Let's just go look at these bests and worsts and get started with that. Anyone while I'm reloading this could tell us something exciting that has happened to you or you've discovered kind of recently with what you're eating. If you would share that would help me for a moment.
Well, Ruth, this is Joan, and I have noticed that once a week, I can eat a lot worse in terms of blood sugar types of food, and without my blood sugar going that far up. But if I do that 2 days in a row, forget it. So I think that idea of your body, you know, making a balance or something, you know, kind of compensating, taking a couple of days to adjust to you and to whatever. I think that's another example of that. Sunday seems to be a day when, I don't know, I think it's the fellowship after church or something, you know, it's all the, and then, you know, somebody wants to go out to lunch or whatever. But at any rate, once a week I seem to be able to, without it messing with my blood sugar, I don't know, I haven't really paid attention to the weight. I don't think one day a week, it would take you a long time to know how much that's affecting your weight, but I noticed that this week.
That's very helpful. Do you perhaps figure out what is the reason why?
Sorry, I'm eating breakfast. Yes, yeah, I suggested that it's your body. It's the fact of it taking a couple of days for your body to readjust. I think I read in some material maybe a year ago that if you're on a severely restricted caloric diet, if you eat differently, a high caloric day, one day a week, it keeps your body from dropping into a lower metabolism in order to adjust to lower calories. So I think it's part of that picture or that observation.
Interesting. Okay, now I'm going to share my desktop. Thank you very much, Joan. Give me a moment to think here. Okay. So, I have down here the best and worst foods from that I saw on an article called from Beth Foods or Nutrition Action here, and I thought you might be interested in seeing them just in a quick glance. Sweet potatoes, the nutritional all-star, has lots of potassium in it, and mangoes. I was surprised at some of these that made the list of the. I crossed out the worst foods. We're just going to talk about the best ones. The worst foods were ones you'd think they were just high in fat, really, really high in calories. And so I just am presenting the best foods and not the worst foods. And some other people might have different opinions, but this is the ones that Nutrition Action had. One cup of mangoes supplies 100% these requirements for vitamin C. High in vitamin A, blood pressure lowering potassium, and 3 grams of fiber. So I'm just going to go over here quickly. Unsweetened Greek yogurt and broccoli. And sometimes we are hearing about there are things that we should maybe cook our broccoli a little, as it is one of the cruciferous hopefully that's how you say it, vegetables, the cabbage family. Wild salmon, Pacific wild salmon. Here's one I didn't know about, whole grain rye crackers, if you're gluten tolerant and that doesn't bother you. Loaded with fiber and often fat-free. They said sprinkle them with honey and put a little honey and sprinkle them with cinnamon to satisfy your sweet tooth. I'm not sure about all that. Depends on you, and as that's true of anything we eat, depends on us. Garbanzo beans, good beans. They're rich in protein, fiber, iron, magnesium, potassium, and zinc. They're very, very versatile. I've been having hummus on some of them. And any of you know a little bit more about garbanzo beans? I always have them mixed up with soybeans. So I have now decided they must not be soybeans. I've never grown any garbanzo beans. I have tried growing some soy.
I've never grown them, but my gosh, they're those little round things that have little faces, maybe look like little pumpkins. They're dried. you get them dried, you know, at Fred Meyer, and they are awesome. Soak them overnight, and you can put some in your salads. I make an incredible salad. You can heat them slowly, and I make a knock your socks off salad with garbanzo beans, quinoa, tiny minced up cucumbers, sliced olives, and red onions with a lemon vinaigrette. And I mean, you'd walk a mile to eat that salad. It is so good. I mean, everybody, I'd be like, I take it to church or something, and people say, oh, let's get Jones Salads here, and it's gone immediately or something, or somebody, you know, they say, can we buy some from you, or, you know, whatever.
Mass produce.
Try them.
You should write up the recipe and send it to me. I'll send it out in a newsletter.
Okay.
The mayonnaise recipe. I got more answers from that. I have a whole list of people I sent to who are not on the call.
Oh.
I got so many comments and thank yous for that recipe. People from all over the place were very excited about having it. So I think we'll do a little bit more. I was thinking we're going to do a little more. I'm going to teach people a little bit more about NECAN advertising. And we are NECAN advertising, of course. And so I'm going to be changing the newsletter a little bit that I send out and show people how they can be paid for doing NECAN advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's one of my favorite, watermelon. So high alkaline, and helping us to be alkaline. And they don't even mention that. Nice shot of potassium. Healthy dose of lycopene. I guess that's how you say that, lycopene. I didn't look that one up. But I do have it mentioned in some other notes I have here from Dr. Blaylock. Okay, butternut squash, my favorite squash. I grow butternut almost exclusively. I have a whole bunch of different ones this year, but usually I only grow butternut because you get so much butternut squash for plant. I mean, yeah, for each squash, it has, most of the squashes have a bigger hole in the middle than they do the meat. So that's one of the reasons why it's my favorite. And leafy greens like kale, collard spinach, turnip greens, mustard greens, Swiss chard. The standout leafy greens are jam-packed with vitamins A, C, K, folate, potassium, magnesium, calcium, good grief, iron, lutein, and fiber. Serve with a splash of lemon juice or red wine vinegar. And we're going to talk a little bit more about particularly kale here. Anybody have any comments about what you would add or subtract from this list? What's your favorite food that helps food? What's your body's favorite food? Maybe you're muted. Unmute. I didn't mute anybody. So you can say. You can say one that's on here or one that's
not. Tomatoes. Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Those are definitely one of my tomatoes would be one that Joan would put on. Tomatoes, I guess I couldn't put on mine because they are kind of high in glutamate, but mostly that's just the sauce, as far as I'm concerned. Fresh tomatoes somehow don't have that glutamate factor.
Right, and they have lots of lycopene. That's that red stuff. That's what, you know, watermelon has. I mean, tomatoes have lycopene, I think. I think lycopene. I associate it with the red.
Most things that are red in color, you're right, Joan, have lycopene in them.
Okay.
I was just going to throw in the avocado since all of us eat so much of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's...
All right, good idea. Well, somebody must be going to say coconut pretty soon. Where's Mary Lou? Coconut. We would probably put coconut on.
If she won't, I will. Okay. Coconut oil. Coconut meat. Coconut cream. Coconut mayonnaise.
We're a little nutty about coconut. Okay. Let's go to the next page we have here. I was studying some of Dr. Blaylock's things, and looking forward to coming up with bad ingredients and good ingredients, and we've been talking about so many, I thought I might put up a list. But I decided that I would only cover a couple. I've got about three or four pages here, and so I decided I would highlight the ones that I'm going to talk about today and not cover them all at one time. So I was looking a lot at things about the brain and what was good for it, and thinking that everyone needs to really know exactly what's good for your brain and what's bad for your brain. And the people who are getting older, they are definitely concerned, but the people who are wanting to have children or having children or have little children, that covers about everybody, I think. They need to know this, too, because the things that go into our body, of course, is going to affect a baby, and before it's born, maybe even before it's conceived, the parents have been putting into their body will affect the baby. And then, of course, when they're little children, everything that goes into their body is going to affect them, and it will affect them probably for the rest of their lives. Here's one that I decided to bring up today is under stress, the brain experiences dramatic increases in free radical formation. Those free radicals damage the brain cells and the connections between them. The antioxidants will protect the brain against this damage. So this is on the good ingredient, antioxidants. And here we have a picture of, guess what, Siaga. Only 1 ounce a day will help to protect your brain because of all the many free oxidants that are in it. Okay. A couple of bad things. The recent studies have shown that those foods with the highest intakes of cholesterol, oh, I was going to cover that one. I haven't figured that out yet. I didn't highlight. Okay, on the next page. I'll have to figure that other one out better before I want to talk about it. Okay, they found that those who have the highest total fat intake had 240% higher risk of developing dementia. And again, this doesn't just start the last 20 years or 50 years of your life. High saturated fat take an increased risk of 90% and high cholesterol intake risk 70%. So too high of fat. But in further reading, I don't know if I have this really outlined here in one of these little rectangles, if further reading, that was the bad fats. It wasn't our good fats, our coconut and our avocado. Okay, one study of 980 elderly individuals followed for four years, it was found that those with the highest intake of calories had a 50% increased incidence of dementia. And so another thing that was mentioned counter to this is the people who limited their bad fat and their calories and carbohydrates limited the damage to the brain. So we want to really watch these. When calorie intake was combined with high fat intake, the risk rose to 230%. Okay, here's a note that I thought you would want to know. Another surprising culprit is citric acid. Lemon juice is high in citric acid, as most citrus foods. Adding lemon to tea, for example, increases aluminum absorption. And, of course, we don't want to have aluminum in our body or especially in our brain. And it increases the aluminum absorption from the tea, which contains very high aluminum levels. I don't know. Did you guys know tea was high in aluminum? I didn't. I don't drink it, but...
No, is that all kinds of tea? That can't be all kinds of tea.
I wondered that exactly same thing, Joan. I suspect it's not doesn't mean
peppermint, green. You know, I mean, that's worth checking out Nutritional Self or something. You know that.
We've got to find out that.
I didn't know that aluminum was.
This is Mary Lou. Remember I mentioned this on our water call? And it seemed to me it was black tea, but I can double check on that. And also, they said don't put lemon in your water. Because so many people, the reason I mention it is because so many people go into a restaurant and they think by putting lemon in their water, it's absorbing the chlorine, but it's actually increasing the aluminum absorption.
If you eat aluminum.
No, there's aluminum in your in tap water.
Oh, okay.
Take your water bottle out to the restaurant with you.
There you go.
And put your lemon in that.
They add aluminum to make that water sparkling.
Well, not Thai water.
No. I'm talking tap water and restaurants. Yeah,
okay.
So you've got to have your water bottle. But I thought I remembered it was mainly black tea. Maji, do you remember?
Well, I guess all tea would have water in it, and all tap water has aluminum in it, and so therefore it could be all caca water.
Yeah.
And it isn't what a tea would naturally have in it. And so some people ask, well, when you're going to heat your water or put it in your soup or whatever, or in your tea water, heat tea water, should you use tap water or do you need to use the water out of your waterfall?
Hello?
Answer to that.
Hello, it's right.
There's the answer.
I don't know, should I take a bath in tap water? I'm good for an hour. I'll take a nice long soaky bath. I don't think so.
That's even like when I steam my vegetables or whatever, I always use Pymag water rather than tap water just for particular reasons. I, and that the heat increases the release of the chemicals would normally within tap water.
And I noticed on the Gerson site they use sliced onions in the bottom of the pan over your vegetables that you want to steam and a slow heat. It takes about 25 minutes, okay? It takes a longer time to steam them, but there's no water at all, and there's all the stuff in the onions that... Another way. Onions, put that on the list. I love onions.
The first ingredient in every main dish.
Right.
I remember my son complaining he didn't like the onions. I said, well, that's too bad. That's the first thing that goes in every time.
Thanks for saying that about citric acid again with water. That rolled around in my brain cell and did not get attached to anything. And so now I've attached that fact of information. I think I can hold on to it.
I know. That was really good, Mary Lou. Then sometimes I'm typing what somebody has said, and I will miss something, and I certainly missed that. Joan, you said something about a Gerson site. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That you use?
Well,
can you spell that for me? I'll put it in the newsletter.
Yeah, Gerson.
Good.
Okay, .org. And that's Max Gerson. He's 2000 and whatever. I mean, 1800s nutritional fellow. He's the one that, through diet, Albert Schweitzer's wife had lung tuberculosis. She came back from the mission field for that, and she had double lung. And at any rate, he had a diet that dealt with that. And there's an awful lot of good information on food there.
Okay, thank you.
They're pretty restrictive.
Okay, let's see. I didn't get to this page, but you guys will like a couple of things here. A more recent study found that blueberry extract could completely. And it must have had reverse in here, and I left it off somehow. Alzheimer's disease, which is anyway, blueberry extract helped prevent Alzheimer's or reverse it. I think I have to really work on that little bit that I've got there. If you're trying to look at the screen, it doesn't quite make sense. So I'm copying, pasting things, and I must have left a little bit out. But I was excited about that blueberry extract. And here's this part. It's been known for almost a half a century that animals placed on a low-calorie diet live significantly longer than those on regular, especially high-calorie diets. And I think calories almost, they don't exactly translate to carbohydrates because, of course, the protein foods also are high calorie. Talk about eating meat. And one place he talked about eggs. But then another source of omega-3 fatty acids from eggs contain high amounts of beneficial fat. And so some of these things I put in my notes to let me know that, yes, the eggs are still on the good list. So that's good. Okay. How about some comments? Is this something that's helpful or help in any way?
I think it's great. I've taken notes. I want to caution us all because I'm guilty of this, and Ruth just might also be. There are certain favorite things we have that we like, and I don't think they can say anything good about chocolate without my memorizing it and highlighting it. So of course we would not ever want to go on an egg diet. Although we could have an occasional egg, okay, or whatever, you know. I'm just saying that I do notice that if I read something about something I really like, you know, like onions, you know, and if I read something negative about onions, I just keep reading the article till I come to something good about it.
I think I do that too.
One thing I want to say about, you know, when people talk about meat, I really believe there's a total difference between the meat that we buy in the grocery store hormones and antibiotics and things like that. You know, I've been doing some research and found that grass-fed animals have a high percentage of CoQ10 in it, more so than the normally fed beef, I'll say. So I think there's a difference between the meats and basically how they're raised. And that's my opinion.
There definitely is. I wouldn't want to eat all those antibiotics and everything that they put in there. Okay. That's what I have for you today.
I'm glad you put that on there about the soybeans right there. They have the highest glutamate levels in the plant kingdom. A natural obsession.
Right here.
Yeah. That is something we have got to stay away from.
I know. I really didn't realize that they were high in glutamate until I read this. My national obsession with soy is ludicrous when you realize that soybeans have one of the highest glutamate levels in the plant kingdom. Portobello mushrooms, some of us know about that one. We talked about that before because I have react so much to glutamate, and those portobello mushrooms certainly got me with having several ocular migraines a day. But the one that got me recently was tomato paste. I've been avoiding it for so long, I forgot that I was avoiding it. And certainly, I think I will never eat it again.
And that is because of MSG, Ruth?
Glutamate. It's not the one that's sort of formulated here. It's a very high in glutamate. It says tomatoes, but I only react to the tomato sauce or the tomato paste. Anyway.
Thank you.
So, okay. You guys, our time's up for today. And tomorrow we look forward to you having a visit with Kieran and Donna. And that will be terrific Tuesday. So,